We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, I'm just loving the day today. It is Thursday as we're recording this, and it's just nice and warm out there. And according to everything that all the meteorologists tell us, there'll be no more crazy nights like we've had where we have frost warnings. So I say, yay, it's about time we got to summer or spring.
But summer or spring, please. Let's get spring. Let's keep it for a while.
Yeah. But next week,
I love spring.
Memorial Day weekend, and that's kind of like the unofficial start of summer. So I'm just saying
next
we have
weekend
one week
is Memorial Day weekend?
Not the one coming now. Not the one that
not
you're listening
to. Not this one, but the following already?
That's what they
said. What, is it early this week, this month?
Like, this year.
That's what I meant, this year. Yeah, it is. It's early. It's a little bit. It's the 25th, so we still have a week after Memorial Day to be in the month of May.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that's a good
it's
thing.
It's almost a whole week later. So, yeah, that's good. Yay!
Okay, that's a
maybe
very good
we can
thing.
Social
Yay.
Distance enough to have a cookout at the lake.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'd like to do that. I think we can handle social distancing. We'll go out on the porch.
Well, there's
in the
only
back
four of us, so.
Well, that's true. We'll do it.
We'll do it. It's easy to do it in that establishment.
Yeah, and I gave the grill a good workout the last couple of weeks. So we
that's
got
good.
That all checked out. It's good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be good.
Good.
And the boat should be in. That's another wonderful thing. And I told
Has your
all
ship
the...
come in, Lynn?
Yes.
My
it
father
has
used
indeed.
To say that all the time. I'm waiting for my ship to come in. I, what does that mean, Dad? Finally, I realized it. I love that line.
When? Was that a year ago? When you think?
Yeah, just a year ago, I realized it.
Okay. All right. So, social distancing notwithstanding, how are you doing?
I'm
You're
doing okay.
Nuts.
Well,
yeah.
I am and I'm not because I work, my office is at home anyway. So,
yeah.
I'm there. And like I said, I come to Broadway once a week, which I'm here now. To get out and make it feel like it's normal. And in all honesty, there's always parking spaces galore in front, which there never is. And then today I pulled up and there wasn't one. But as I said, there's construction being done in the 400 of North Washington. So I think that may be why there's no parking there. So people are in the next block. But usually, of course, because no one's here, there's no one around. So I pull up and I'm like, oh, God, who's parking there? and usually it's just expected, but now it's like, oh, please, there's never anybody here. So,
yep.
Yes, I miss, you know, and I'm do. And the other thing is, all of my board meetings and other meetings are done by Zoom or Microsoft mm-hmm. Teams or, you know, call-ins or conference calls. So that's still going on. So the thing that I don't like is not seeing people. Like there's so many people that I have not seen in months.
Yep.
And then of course then some of my, you know, wonderful friends who two of my friends passed away last Friday. And my friend Billy Bocchicchio, who graduated high school with me, I know him since we're little kids because he grew up in Bellevue and we went to Holy Cross and we were thinking mm-hmm. about it. My friend Ruth Krockenberg Brodnicki called me yesterday to talk about Billy because she saw that he had passed, and she called and he was a skier. And she said, "Don't you remember when we went to Elk Mountain with the ski club with West Scranton High School?" And I said, "Yes." And I couldn't get up, and Billy Bocchicchio. I was afraid that I was going to, I fell, and I was on the little bunny slope, and one and only time that I skied, and I fell, and I was afraid to get up because I was afraid I was going to break my ankle or my leg. I just was afraid, and he came right over to me and just got me right up, and he said, "Here's what to do, trust me." And we were in ninth grade, and I like I said, I know him since I'm a little kid, so I put my faith in him, did it, and got right up. And he goes, "I told you." And so then as I proceeded the rest of the way down the hill, I went right through this string that they had down at the bottom of the, it was just like a string, and flew through that and almost directly under the school bus one of the school buses. Because I had no idea how to stop. And I don't want to know at all anymore because I will never do it again. And so Ruth and I, she said, "I can't believe you remember. I was going to," she said, "that's exactly why I'm calling to say, don't you remember that?" And Billy was not a tall guy, so he was a smaller mm-hmm. man. So he just like, she's like, "Here's Billy Bocchicchio, ninth grade, little Billy. He's pulling you up or telling you what to do." And you're like, "No, no." And then he kept, no one else you would get up for but Billy. And I said, "Well, because I trusted him." But anyway, his wife, Dee, she's a remarkable woman. The two of them were the most beautiful couple. They have a son who just got married, raised a son. He just got married. Billy was the kindest guy. I used to see him at Novena. I would run into them everywhere. Dee's a hairstylist, and they're the nicest. They were the sweetest. He's just the best, absolute best guy. And I'm heartbroken because I did not know that he had leukemia, and it was in the paper, so I'm not saying anything out of term. And mm-hmm. he battled it for 11 years, and I just, wow. I didn't know. Yeah, he's just unbelievable. So my heart is broken for him. I just absolutely love him and his, so thinking of them. And then my dear friend Larry Trichetta, who was my piano tuner, and actually he built the piano, my baby grand, that is in my house that my son Tommy learned on, that my sister Barbara and I bought it from Larry, who rebuilt it. And it's beautiful, and it's in my living room. It sits proudly today. And Larry and his wife Cindy, who I've gotten to know through the years, have been in my house through the years, tuning and making sure everything, cleaning and making sure it was all good, and put a humidifier in the into the piano, because my piano is near windows, and you really shouldn't have that. So because it was the only spot I could put it in, we had to put a humidifier in, or dehumidifier, right? Yes. Yeah. And you have to pour water into it, which is kind of weird. But anyway, so they've been part of our lives now for many, many, many years, including Tommy doing an essay for one of his classes at prep in 2005. And I just pulled it out and read it again. And at the last sentence, it says, he said, "I wish I," because he loved how the piano sounded right after he would leave. And he mm-hmm. Would talk to Tommy. And he said, "I wish," the last line of that essay says, I wish I could have this man stick around forever.
Oh, that's nice.
And that Tommy wrote in 2005. So I started, you know, it just was emotional. And it turns out my sister calls, and I had no idea of this relationship. Dee Bocchicchio, Billy's wife, and Cindy, Larry Trichetta's wife, are sisters, and both of their husbands passed away on the same day.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
What their last name is Cimino. I know. It's just Larry had been struggling with some heart issues for a while, and I hadn't seen him for about a year and a half. And then Cindy called me, and she said, "We're ready to go. Larry, we're coming over." And so she said, "We have to take it easy." Usually he would clean and tune in one day, but because he had just recovered from heart issues, she said, "Do you mind if we come and, you know, we'll clean and tune in two different days?" I said, "Absolutely not." And, like, they were the type, Meyer and I were going somewhere, so I just, here's the key, just lock it. And, you know, they were the best. I mean, my heart is broken. Larry's obit was in the paper today, and Billy's was yesterday. And it's, so those kind of things. I mean, all these people who we, you know, have to delay celebrating their life and being part of their sorrow with their family is all on sort of on hold in many ways. And yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's so that those are the things that really bother me and get to me, because you think, now wait a minute, all this other stuff is happening with this virus. I keep forgetting that there's other things that are still going on. And it's just scary. It's, but making the best of it as we only can. Going for little rides, just doing things like that. Sean's gone back to school, so I'm empty nested once again. Is that a word? Empty nested?
Yeah.
So.
I think we understand.
So that's, it's just been a little up and down, back and forth. Tommy's doing great, and he starts school on the 2nd of August, and so he's full speed ahead with that. And it's all, thank God.
Well, yeah, all kinds of good stuff going on. I really don't think of myself as being out of business, because, like you said, most of what I do and can do, I do on the phone or on my computer, and makes no difference where I am.
Right.
Except that, you know, one of the things I thought was interesting about being here and working from here is that I've always considered this place at the lake to be something of a just whatever it is that I have to do here, it's just minimal. I have nothing set up to accommodate all of the stuff that I normally do. And what I've realized is I keep, if there's a word for it, and I can't think of what that is, but I keep taking pieces of things from my office and from my house that I would use there, either place, and bringing them up here. So I have, I recorded three podcasts in the last 2 weeks. And I recorded them all by bringing up the Yeti microphone. It's a, you know, a studio quality microphone, and the headsets that we use when occasionally we are in the studio.
Studio, right.
And I just said, you know, here I am. I just moved my entire operation. The only thing I need is something that would cut the sound of everything else, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
So that's the only issue, but I think I can buy some noise deafening type things that you panels that you can put up, and so I might end up doing that. But what's funny to me was that I realized I was just tolerating stuff here because to me it was kind of it's just a throw out kind of thing, and whatever's here is here. But I decided a couple weeks back I need to make this place feel like it's an office. So I ordered a brand new chair from Staples. It's a Posturepedic, and Patrick helped me to put it together. I got some a new modem. I got things that really made it be a place that I could work instead of it being an afterthought.
Catch as catch can kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so you're going to tell us more about it. You're going to tell us more about that when we come back, because we're going to take a quick break. You're listening this morning to Laurie and Lynn Show, and we'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
We're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am a financial advisor with a company called Women of Substance, LLC, and that's a financial planning firm devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, and that's on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many others.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And you were talking about earlier, Lynn, that you are feeling much more put together there than you have in the past.
Yeah.
And I think that must be a good feeling, because I think that probably, I don't know this because I don't have a second home, but I think that many people probably think that way, that when you have the second place, it sort of is not that same feeling, and now that you've been there for so long, it sort of has taken over that role. Because I don't know how many people could say they feel the same way in more than one property at the same time.
Yeah, and what's weird about it is, for the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 weeks, I've been going back one day a week to the other house just to pick up mail and, you know, water the plants, stuff like that. And it's just funny because it's a very strange emotional response. I feel like, in some ways, I almost feel like I've abandoned the house. And yet, the flowers have just grown. I have never seen them like that. I mean, it just, there's one Christmas cactus that is in the bedroom on the side where Pat sleeps, and normally we get maybe 10 buds a year, and the thing that's so special about them is they're yellow, so they are really beautiful. It's a double blossom on each one of them. I went back there yesterday and I took some pictures, and I'm not kidding, I had to take the pictures. I had 40 buds and blossoms on this plant.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went to the back bedroom where they get just the morning light. And I have, it's incredible. The room is in bloom. It's just phenomenal.
Wow.
So I kind of feel like, okay, you guys, you know, I get the message. Stay away. We do better without you. Okay. Yeah. So I was feeling real good about that, you know. But what I mean is that it was funny that when I was there, I felt like I was home. And when I'm here, I still, even though we've been here for so long, it doesn't feel like home to me.
Right.
It's weird. But anyway, if I have to work here, which I want to do, then I need to up the ante here, because I can't let it just be broken down stuff that functions only when I'm here on a weekend.
Right.
So I'm surprised. I just said, what am I tolerating here that I don't want to tolerate anymore? And number one was that stupid chair that was busted. And I said, get it out of here. I need to not be thinking about the arm falling off while I'm here. So got that and got just a whole bunch of things. And it's feeling like it's an office. Feels good.
There you go. Yay.
Yeah. And nice to look out through the sliders that are, go out to the balcony and say, I can see all the trees. And I've recorded so many times in the last couple of weeks when we've had those really nasty storms where we had snow and high winds and hail. All that stuff is recorded. And I just think this is going to be fun to put this together someday and say, here's what pandemic looks like.
Yeah.
You know? So It's really weird because it is a strange adaptation to something that, okay, it's fine. It works, and it's getting better. So anyway, a couple things I wanted to share with our listeners because, believe it or not, I got all my mail from what was held back for weeks yesterday, and I found that very special AARP bulletin.
Mm-hmm. I read it.
And
I perused
it. That was good stuff. It was really good stuff in there. And I just wanted to hit a couple of the high points of what they talk about in the area of your money. And the title of this is called Batten Down the Hatches. There are several things that I know people are concerned about as far as that CARES Act that was passed where we're supposed to get our $1,200 per person. I think I asked you. You said you did or didn't get yours yet.
I just got it.
Did you really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I keep looking for ours. I'm not sure where it is. But because both of us get Social Security and it's a direct deposit, I thought we would have gotten it very quickly. But we have not. So I now have to go back and figure out what's the problem. But in addition to that, that's what most people think of when they think of this CARES Act. There's so many other pieces to it that are really good. So that's not necessarily a bad thing that some of these things are here, but I don't think that people know that these are some things that they can benefit from if they understood that they exist. And one of the things is that, you know, there's always, you've heard me say it 1,000 times, don't take your Social Security when you're 62 if you can help it, because you get 8% a year, it grows until you're 70. Well, there's some other things they did with this CARES Act that says that if you haven't yet reached full retirement, and you file for benefits, that's if you're 62 and haven't begun taking them. If you file for the benefits, you have 12 months to withdraw your claim and pay back what you've received interest-free. That's an amazing thing.
Say
but
that again.
Beware. If you file, if you're 62 or older, but you're not full retirement age, which for most people now is 66 and whatever it is, 67 even. So if you file for it after age 62, you can withdraw that file, that claim, and anything that you received during that time frame from Social Security, you can pay it back interest-free. So in other words, it used to be that once you started taking Social Security,
you couldn't
stop
it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Saying that's a good thing. But if you don't withdraw the claim within 12 months and repay what you've received, your filing is permanent and you won't enjoy the higher monthly benefit. So you've got to watch for that 12 months. However, if you are full retirement age and you have the same option of applying for Social Security, then withdrawing your application within a year and returning your benefits will give you an additional option. If you don't change your mind in time, or if you can't or don't want to repay what you've received, you can simply suspend your benefit, which is another way of saying, just don't give me any checks right now, just hold on till I decide I want them again.
Wow.
And that gives you then the right to let that 8% grow. So you can start and stop, repay it, and then you can go back to taking a higher benefit at some point in time later.
Wow,
that's important.
Great.
And then the RMDs, I think a lot of people who are baby boomers know about those, because once you hit 70 and a half, the rule was you had to start taking money from your IRAs and your 401ks.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that extended now too, or something?
To 72. So now you can go up to age 72, and that's good too. And then the other thing they mentioned, which a lot of people really should do, but they're afraid to do, is to contact and communicate with your lenders and landlords. So if you are unemployed and you cannot pay the rent, don't just not pay the rent. Call your landlord, because according to this, the CARES Act gives homeowners with federally backed mortgages the right to apply to delay payments up to 6 months, and gives tenants a four-month moratorium on evictions from properties that are part of government programs or that have a federally backed mortgage loan. So the most important thing is to call and work out something with either your lenders or your landlord.
Yeah,
Yes. No, go ahead. You can make a point.
I was just going to say, I was thinking about that myself. Like all the renters are, it's good for them, but what about the landlords who have to pay their mortgages, or what about the landlords who have no mortgages?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what they can do.
Yeah, what happens to them? Right. Nothing. They just have to wait to be paid,
but I think,
right?
I don't know. I think there might be part under some of these where you can get that part of a small business. So
yeah,
if it's a small business, then you might be able to get these loans. I mean, it's worth checking out for sure. But I think everybody all the way around needs to be covered on this.
Right.
The other thing they mentioned, too, is avoiding major changes. Now, I don't necessarily agree with this, but it's in there. So it says hold off on significant financial decisions like buying a new house or retiring. The retiring part I get, and I'll explain why. But buying a new house, you know, the rates are so low, and if you've already qualified for the mortgage, why not do it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get this... that you can get this deferral they talk about with the bank. So I don't see the point of that. But the second part of it too says if you're planning on retiring, you know, you might want to defer it. And the reason is very interesting. If your industry is shaky, you may get laid off and could possibly collect unemployment benefits for a while. That way you can delay your decision to retire until you can better assess your finances. And
now,
it will also give your finances a chance to recover.
If you're laid off, are you still considered, though, an employee with benefits, or what happens there? Do you know that?
Well, from what job?
No, say you're working somewhere and you're laid off, not furloughed, but laid off, because furloughed means you're going to bring them back, and laid off means you don't have to. So do they still pay your benefits or not? I'm thinking of that meaning when you just said if you're thinking of retiring, then, and if it wasn't like you can continue your health insurance, it would be a way to think about it, because you might be laid off, depending on your industry, and then still be able to collect or not have to pay insurance. But I would assume they don't pay your health insurance any longer either. But I don't know that.
I don't either. I don't know the answer to that question. But that's why they have that additional $600 a week.
Right.
That they're
maybe
now
that's
paying. So I think that's going to go a long way for helping people to pay some of those basic benefits. And
sure,
if you add to that your ability to negotiate longer term type things for payments for your mortgages or other things, you'd be in pretty good shape to get through this rather than having nothing. We don't want nothing.
Right, right.
So those are the biggies. But I just think that that's some good advice, and I wanted to share that. So I think we're going to have to take a quick break here, and we'll be back with our guest expert, truly a guest expert, Peg Ruddy from Women's Resource Center. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And my name is Lynn Evans. I'm a financial advisor with Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, and that's available on Google. Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. They changed their name. Apple Podcast, Spotify, and a couple others. And our guest today is Peg Ruddy, who is the executive director, chief honcho, and fallback person at the Women's Resource Center in Scranton. Welcome, Peg.
Hi, Peg.
Oh, thank you, Lynn and Lori, for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, you know, last week, Lori and I were talking about something that I forget where I was reading it, Lori. I don't remember, but something about the incidence of the diminished calls that are coming in now about domestic violence because of the quarantine.
Right.
And people were getting very concerned about the fact that the call numbers were diminishing and feared the worst, that a lot of women were in situations where they couldn't get to a phone or they were physically harmed to the point where they could not get to a phone. And we started talking about locally how that works. And then, Peg, I read something. I was a little behind in my newspapers because I gathered them all up, but that you had done a front page story on a concern you had that the calls had diminished significantly.
Yes.
So tell us, I just asked you before offline how that was going.
Sure. At the beginning of the, stay-at-home orders in mid to late March, we saw a 40% drop-off in the number of our hotline calls over a two-week period compared to the last year in that same time at the end of March. And I'm part of the statewide network of domestic violence programs, and it was a common response from all of my colleagues across the state that they, too, their phones had gone quiet. So we decided, we did a little planning over here, and we've through the help of Munley Law as well, they donated their airtime to us, so I've been able to do a commercial. We've been in the newspaper, social media. We've just cranked up our message to the community that we are still here and we're still 100% functioning. And so I'm able to report at this point that we've seen the numbers on the rise again, and our Safe House program is full. The other point I'd like to make is not only have we seen an increase, you know, over that time in hotline calls and Safe House requests, but the level of violence is really increased. You know, when you have domestic violence survivors who face extra stress and increased danger as they're sharing a home with their abusers, you know, things can get really bad. So we're glad we're here. We just want the community to know that they can reach out to us if they need help.
Peg, I have a question. Knowing how well you know this and how long you've been doing this, as I told Lynn last week, I said there that I had read the article, and then she called and said she caught up and read it as well, and I said that's when I was thinking when we were talking about this last week that you would be the perfect guest to talk about this. I think, am I assuming correctly that you guys know, or anyone in this line of work would know, that because of something, not that we've ever experienced this before, but because of something like this, you would have expected the incidences to be more, and because you weren't getting calls, that was alarming to you, because you know full well that that probably was something that would be increased?
You know,
or not.
Not intuitively right off the bat. It took a couple of days till, you know, we were talking amongst ourselves here and, you know, thinking, you know, this is going to be a problem because survivors of domestic violence aren't going to be able to have any free time away from the abuser to get to a phone. And they're not going to work that they can call from their office, or he or she's not going to work so that they're home. Not to mention all the kids are home.
Yep.
And so it didn't take us long to figure out that this was going to be a very dangerous time. And, the other dynamic is that the COVID-19 has become a new tool in the abuser's toolbox. We've had a couple of calls about women that have told us that their batterers say that they had the virus and they're going to give it to them. Or won't let them go to the doctors if they have a fever. So they've used it. I mean, it's become another, like I said, a tool in the toolbox. And that's just incredibly alarming to me. You think at a time of such a health crisis that, human nature wouldn't kick in that way. But when you have abusive people, they're going to use whatever they can to control.
And does that also fall, does that also fall true for their children as well, that they won't let their children go to a doctor because the mother might have to be the one to
right.
take them?
Yeah, yes.
Wow.
And they don't want them out of the house. Mm-hmm. I've also learned through the community that the incidence of child abuse is on the rise. We know that, it's stressful enough, right, to be home.
Right.
And you add on top of that someone that's got a controlling behavior, it's a perfect storm, for some significant violence. So we've really worked hard to try to get the word out. What this pandemic has offered us is an opportunity to look at the way we work. And by that, I mean, one of our board president, Margaret McCormick, has a team over at North Penn AAA. I put out a call to board members asking for iPads or laptops because we're going to start to communicate with clients electronically. And so North Penn AAA donated some fire tablets to us so that we can use them with women going to court. See, the court is still open.
Mm-hmm.
But the attorneys aren't allowed there, just the plaintiff and the victim. And so we're able to communicate through an iPad or a tablet with those individuals who are in PFA court. So we're really starting to get a little creative. I'm proud of the staff here to, figure out a way how to be present and supportive while we can't be, in the same room.
Mm-hmm. Tyke, when you talk about the plaintiff and the abuser being in the same room, is there ever any issue about that in the hallway before they go in, or are they separated?
Mostly they're separated. The sheriff is there. Where we see the problem is after they leave the courthouse.
Yeah.
They're safe in the courthouse and everybody gets screens for weapons, but sometimes survivors walking back to their car, have been followed. So we try to come up with safety plans to avoid that. It's just been really difficult on the advocates and the attorneys. I really admire them for hanging in there and being creative and, having to deal with this problem in their own lives,
Yeah.
It can be, a little anxiety producing.
Yeah, Peg, and the fact that the Munley Law has stepped up, that must have been a wonderful thing to be able to have. They are very generous and do so much, and they get a lot of airtime. So doing that must have meant the world to you to get that message out.
Oh, it really did, and it made a difference. In terms of people like just, watching TV, and saying, oh, okay, I can call there. It's made a big difference, as well as some of our social media outreach. And, we've done a couple newspaper articles. And the one struggle we do have, Lori, I was telling Lynn earlier, is we were in great shape with our major capital endowment campaign. We had a $2.5 million goal. We still have a $2.5 million goal. And we had reached 1.2 of that. We're just getting ready to make plans to go public in this hit. So the momentum, has certainly stalled. But at the same time, now more than ever, we're in need of donations because we had to cancel Great Chefs, which brings in about $75,000 a year for us. So,
yep.
I know everybody's in the same boat, but, in terms of being able to, share resources that, we're really encouraging people, that we're here and that we need help in terms of money.
Yeah.
Peg, have you talked at all about any virtual Great Chefs?
You know what, Lynn? I just had a conversation this morning with one of our association members about setting up a meeting to talk about what we're going to do going forward. There's all kinds of creative ways, I think, that we can do something, and I think it's going to be the way of the world for I don't know how long.
Yes, it is. But I think that would be such fun.
Right?
You could get a bunch of people together who would cook and show women how to, whoever wants to watch, anything, you know, and just and ask them to pay a dollar amount to have access to the webinar.
Mm-hmm.
That would
good
be
idea.
Easy to do.
Well, it was really disappointing to me. It was our 30th anniversary this year.
I know. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's a biggie.
But, yeah, I think we've got a great association and board, and none of us knew this was going to be 2 months in, right?
Right.
And it doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon, so we're going to have to get creative about that.
Many
ways
to do
it,
Peg. And
I'm sorry?
Peg, I said there's many ways. I'll even give you a call off air. I have an idea for you.
Okay, good.
So,
great.
Tell everybody too, Peg. What if anybody knows anybody or knows that they're in need? What is the best way and the safest way to get in touch with you, and what they should maybe do?
Well, of course, if it's during the incident, they want to call 911, and then the police will refer the survivor to us. But otherwise, we have a toll-free 24-hour hotline, which is 570-346-4671, and it's staffed 24/7. We're fully operational.
Perfect. Well, Peg, we wish you luck
in
everything you do. It's wonderful that we have the service we have, and how long you've been at this. How many years now?
36.
Woo! Baby! Woo! So, congratulations
Thank
to you,
you.
And keep on doing it and doing what you have to do to keep our citizens safe
Thank you.
In any form of domestic violence. So we
Great.
Appreciate your time and think of the Women's Resource Center if you're looking to make a donation. There can be very helpful to them and to all. So thanks, Peg.
Thank you.
And we will see you soon. Lynn, have a good weekend. I will thank you all again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Be safe, and please be nice.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.